Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you, sir, very much for joining us live worldwide, everyone. This is your host, Jim Masters. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. It is 4 p.m. Eastern, and it is Monday, September 11th, 2017. Of course, a very special day in the United States of America, a day of remembrance for the events that happened on September 11th, 2001. And as our country pauses to remember those we lost and those who paid an ultimate sacrifice, we do take a moment to share in that momentous time and in that very special period in our country's history, a time period that really affected us all and greatly and changed our lives forever. And we'll take a moment just to remember those whose lives were lost on that fateful day in New York City, in Washington, D.C., and in Pennsylvania as well. We have a very special guest, actually two guests who will be joining us on the show. We're continuing our series with Barbara Hardy of Angel Connections. Barbara is a very special guest of ours. She is the founder of Angel Connections, where she helps people to solve the challenges they are experiencing in life with input from the angelic realm. Barbara helps her clients to connect with the spiritual self as well as what she calls their heavenly helpers, their guardian angels, angels, archangels, spirit guides, ascended masters, all of which I'm sure on September 11th and the days following were called upon greatly and are still called upon. Really, when things happen in our lives that are unpredictable and sometimes can be overwhelming, can be tragic, we do call upon our guardian angels to help us through. And as Barbara has said in her series with us here on CUTV News Radio, life can actually be less complicated and more peaceful if you have a connection with God and the angelic realm. And we all have the resources we need within us. We can draw on our own inherent wisdom, the higher self, to determine what we're supposed to do in this lifetime. So as we chat with Barbara once again, and we also welcome a very special guest to our show, who also has a connection to 9/11. His name is Larry Garrett. Larry has been a hypnotist for some 47 years, and he's going to share with us a tremendous story about how he was invited to Baghdad back in 2001. And he's a good friend of Barbara Hardy. He's also owns and operates the Garrett Wellness Center in Chicago. And in addition to that, he has written two books on his special experience when he was invited to Baghdad. First one was self-published, calling Healing the Enemy. And the second one was a revised edition by a publisher and is titled Hypnotizing the Devil. Really, really fascinating reads. And we'll talk about that and more. But first, let's welcome Barbara back to our show on today's special 9/11 themed episode of CUTV News Radio. Barbara, thank you once again for joining us on the show. I know it's a very important day in our country. It's a moving day for all of us. We appreciate your taking time out of your day to join us here on September 11th. And I want to begin by asking you about a special 9/11 connection that you personally have as well, and if you can share that with us and our audience here on CUTV News Radio.
Thank you, Jim. I'm so happy to be here. I remember 9/11 as if it happened yesterday, and part of the responsibility that Spirit has taught me to do is help souls get from earth, being earthbound, into the light. So when 9/11 was happening, my husband and I were watching it on TV, and we were glued to it, but he had to go to New Hampshire to a business meeting, and he wanted me to go with him. And I said, no, I don't want to miss this. He said, we can hear it on the radio. So, okay, we listened on the radio as we were going. At that time, my instructions with Spirit was that when I was with my husband, they needed to leave me alone because he didn't believe in what I was doing, and it was only aggravating him. So when I sat to meditate, they were to come in and, you know, we were to converse. But in the car going up to New Hampshire, I got the signal from Spirit that they wanted to talk to me. So I closed my eyes and I checked in, and they said they wanted me to create a portal where the Twin Towers were in New York. And a portal is just a passageway. It's an opening into the higher dimensions of light. So they wanted me to create this portal for the earthbound souls to be able to get up into the light, because the way they die, they went to work. They didn't know they were going to die, and usually they stay earthbound when a tragedy like that happens. So that was my connection with 9/11. They only asked me to create the portal at the Twin Tower sites, and I did that. But meanwhile, when I tapped into the energy of those who were deceased, but they were earthbound, I started crying uncontrollably because I was feeling what they were feeling, and it wasn't a good feeling. And my husband was driving, and he was going totally nuts, wondering what was wrong with me, because he hadn't said or done anything to upset me, so he couldn't imagine why I was crying uncontrollably. So I just put my hand up to him as a stop sign, and I'm surprised he didn't stop the car to figure out what was going on. But anyway, so that was my connection. Spirit asked me to create a portal for passage for those who were earthbound to be able to get to the up into the light.
Do you have any, before we speak with our very special guest, Larry Garrett, on this very important day, a day that really, you know, has so much emotion attached to it and so much remembrance and reverence and honor, do you have anything, a message perhaps, Barbara, that you would like to share with our audience, with those listening who have been touched by 9/11, who remember it, who honor those who have fallen, and possibly those even younger generations who are learning about it? Maybe they weren't around when it actually happened, but they feel the importance of the remembrance of the day. Any message for folks on the ability to go on, to continue to have a positive spirit, to continue to call upon the guardian angels? Any positive message you would have for our audience on this momentous day, Barbara?
Yes, even though it's something that most people don't want to accept, according to our life plan, nothing happens to us by accident. We call it an accident, we call it a tragedy, we call it a lot of different things, but basically, when it's our time to exit the planet, the soul makes that decision for us. So these souls who passed during the 9/11 tragedy, they already had that in their, they were sacrificing themselves for the benefit of the whole. And I don't know the whole history as to why it had to happen that way, but nothing happens without it being part of our plan. As you know, some people were on their way to work and they got detained, whether they stopped for a coffee or a donut or something, and they didn't get into work on time to be part of the tragedy. So just forgiveness is a good thing to go for. It helps to relieve us from the burdens that we're carrying and the grief that we're carrying. And know that their loved ones are in the light, those who have passed. There's no one that had died in that tragedy that is earthbound. They all have gotten up into the light. So that's a positive right there. And it's just, it's too bad that it happened, because when we get close to someone, we love them, and they're in our life, and then they're not in our life, you know, within a second's period of time. You know, it's hard for us to take. but know that they're in a good place. Know that they'll see them again when it's their time to pass over, and know that forgiveness is the tool to be able to get beyond the tragedy.
That's beautifully said, Barbara, and we thank you for sharing that on our show today. It leads me into welcoming our very special extra guest today who's joining us, who's a friend of yours. Before I welcome him to the show, how did you meet our guest, Larry Garrett? I know you had mentioned to me off the air before we went live that you've known him for some 25 years. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, he was a friend of my friend, Sandy. So what happened was she convinced me that I should take hypnosis training. And so when I did that and I was going to the meetings, they had annual meetings, which was a great event. Larry was there, and Larry was one of the top speakers. And in Chicago, he's a leader in Chicago with his wellness center. So he's kind of like a celebrity. But I've known him for many years, and he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And I read his book, the first one, the self-published one, and it was like he was talking to me himself as I was reading the words, because I know his voice and I could hear his voice in my head as I was reading the words on the pages. But he puts a real positive twist to an experience that he had in an area that we consider an enemy, but he didn't see it as that. But I want him to tell you his experience.
Absolutely. We will welcome now, live to CUTV News Radio, a very special call-in guest, Larry Garrett. As I mentioned, he's a certified hypnotist with the National Guild of Hypnotists, and is operating the longest, largest, and most sophisticated hypnosis center in Chicago. He is a consultant and instructor to many doctors, dentists, psychologists, lawyers, and other professionals in the art of hypnosis for their respective fields. He has lectured, taught, and demonstrated hypnosis for over 400 colleges, universities, and high schools in over 30 states. He has also trained and worked with many Chicago-area police departments using hypnosis to aid in recall and investigative work. He has also worked with many large corporations for things like smoking cessation and stress management. He has appeared in over 300 radio and TV talk shows and has received nationwide recognition and many awards for his outstanding contributions in hypnosis. On two different occasions in 2001, April and September, Larry was invited by the former government of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, to hypnotize Saddam's eldest son, Uday. He was the only American in Iraq on September 11th, 2001 at the time. As I mentioned, he has two books available about his journey to Iraq, Healing the Enemy and Hypnotizing the Devil. His books are available on his website, GarrettWellnessCenter.com. Fascinating, fascinating story and turn of events here. Let's welcome, without further ado, Larry Garrett to our show as well. Larry, thanks for joining us on CUTV News Radio Live, and especially on this very momentous day in our country's history on September 11th. Good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you, Jim, and thank you, Barbara. I'm almost humbled and honored after you read that script. I'm thinking to myself, how do I live up to those expectations? But I always look at myself just like I'm anybody else. It's just that I've had quite a journey in life, and I hear the words that Barbara used. There's no coincidences. Things happen for a reason, and I often wonder, why did I go to Iraq on September 11th? Actually, I went there September 9th, who was a no, 2 days later, and yet there's no coincidences. I think that for some reason I was meant to be there, and I often make a little jest and say, who else do I know that would go there? But so I did, but it's nice to be here. It's nice to talk to you. And I'm honored to be on your show, Jim. Thank you.
Oh, it is our pleasure, Larry. I'm fascinated by the events and how it all happened. I mentioned you were invited, obviously, to provide hypnotism. However, how did that all come to be? How did you get invited to Iraq? How was there a connection to the regime? And how did that all sort of develop and then come to be?
Well, in brief, Uday Hussein had some great beliefs in the powers of the mind, and he felt that his injury was told to him by his medical staff to be more psychosomatic than it was physical, meaning the injury of the discomforts. And so he had a couple of hypnotists from Iraq see him. They weren't able to do much with him, most likely intimidated by this gruesome man. And then he had some hypnotists from France also, again, without any good results. So he contacted me through a neurosurgeon who was in Chicago for a medical conference. And my best assumption is he went through the hypnosis guild that Barbara had mentioned that we're certified with, the National Guild of Hypnotists in Merrimack, New Hampshire. And there aren't a lot of people who can extend themselves out, much like as you hear Barbara talking, a lot of people say, oh, yeah. But, you know, her beliefs are so strong that you almost have to listen. Well, my beliefs are so strong in the human person and unconditional love that I attempt not to judge. I've hypnotized murderers before. I've hypnotized rapists and criminals. And for me to sit and hypnotize somebody is a way of me saying to them to feel better about life. So to answer your question in brief, I was invited by the former Iraqi government through a surgeon that was here in Chicago from Iraq, and that's how it began.
That is truly amazing. Wow. Mm-hmm. That is something I'm sure you will absolutely never forget. So invited, as you said, to provide the ability to hypnotize Sanam's eldest son, that must have been quite a moment for you. Were you excited? A lot of people listening would say, okay, was Larry excited? Was he enthusiastic? Was he all in? Did he have reservations? Was he nervous? Or all of the above? Did it, the emotions when you heard that this request was made run the gamut for you?
Well, I wasn't aware that who it was that I was going to be hypnotizing, Jim. I was just invited to come to Baghdad to hypnotize a businessman who had sustained an injury. And the injury was to be, as I said earlier, more in his mind than the body. So I went there with enthusiasm and excitement of being invited. And you might say, well, why would you go to Iraq? And also, I think the significant part here is that I was the first American who was invited or allowed to go to Iraq in 10 years since 1991 during the first Gulf War. So I thought that was pretty significant in itself, much like Barbara speaks, how things happen. So being invited to me was a gift. Being invited to me was also exciting. But there was a little bit of nervousness as well. I'm not a nervous person by nature. I'm pretty calm and pretty relaxed. I seem to keep myself absent of a lot of stress. So there was this excitement, oh boy, this is going to be great, maybe like a roller coaster ride, but it wasn't a fearful type. And then when I first met Uday Hussein, there was a little nervousness because I knew if I didn't perform well, from what I had heard, I might not come home. Realize also, Jim, that everybody had warned me not to go to Iraq. But I'm kind of a naive person. I don't really listen to the news often. I don't read newspapers a lot because then it affects me emotionally. I think most of us get affected, and even by 9/11 issues. But here I am on 9/11, 2001, watching on an Arabic TV without knowing what was really going on. I thought it was a science fiction movie that I was watching because as I see the towers falling and the excitement of the people that I was watching this program with, I thought, well, this is fictitious. This is this science fiction movie. But it was really happening. But, of course, I didn't understand a word of what they were saying on the TV. That's where I was on 9/11.
That is unbelievable. Who would ever think, right, when you look back, that's where you would be on that day?
Yeah.
So a lot of people would be thinking then, what was the treatment like for you? You're an American coming over. There was always, of course, press and what was mentioned in the media, things of that nature, and a certain history of events. Were you treated well by the government and by Uday and the family and What was that like? And how do you define, so, I guess, treated well? What was that all like, that experience for you?
Well, Jim, you bring up a group of comments or questions there. One is about media. The media here in this country had very little to do with my experiences. Actually, I didn't do a whole lot. I'm honored to be on your program because to this day, the media doesn't seem to have an interest here in Chicago. I sent out some notes of saying, how about something different for 9/11, an American in Iraq on 9/11? Sounds to me like a news. So, Jim, I might say you're the only media this year that has an interest in my story. So thank you for that. My pleasure. As far as how I was treated there, I was treated like royalty. I always had a bodyguard with me. They didn't want anything to happen to me. They took good care of me. They took me every place I wanted to go. I was able to visit Babylon and see the great city of Babylon. I was able to see the Museum of Iraq. I was able to tour the University of Baghdad. I was able to go and visit the mosque where the Sufis are, and they do these special events. So to me, it was a great experience. Hypnotizing Uday Hussein was another great experience because all I needed to do was maintain my confidence and well-being. You know, hypnosis to me, Jim, is like being a great radio announcer and personality. It's the ability to be present with the person that you're speaking to. And so as you are on this program and you speak to your audience, as though there's one individual listening to you, that individual listens. And that's the way I hypnotized Uday. I spoke only to him. I kept my mind focused. I kept myself from any fear. And we had great success. By the third day, you know, Uday had been shot numerous times. He had 15 bullets in his body. What had happened was he was on his back for 3 years. He wasn't able to walk well. The last year when I was there, he was starting to walk. And he walked with a hesitation because he was afraid to put pressure on his leg. So the fear of putting pressure on his leg would cause him to walk with a limp. And he mentioned to me in great wording, he said, you know, we are in a very macho society, he says, and I must appear strong to my people. And by walking with crutches or a cane, I don't look so strong. So his goal was to be strong, and that was our goal. And by the third day, he was walking better without a cane, because there was nothing physically wrong with him. It was all in his mind. And the great story about why it was in his mind is he had two surgeons during the surgery. One surgeon was an Iraqi surgeon. One surgeon was a German surgeon. The Iraqi surgeon used these words: don't put pressure on your leg, as you'll never be able to walk well again. The German surgeon says you must walk as soon as possible to get the leg strong. So, of course, he listened to the first surgeon who had this double bind, not to put pressure on his leg. So 3 years later, he still has this memory in his mind, you know, and he's not able to put pressure on his leg. And that was the biggest issue of all. But we had good success, and that's why I was invited back on September 9th. The first time I was there was in May. I was there on Mother's Day, actually. My mother didn't like that much. And the second time I was there, I was invited back because he had done well, and then we were working with new things.
Wow, what a story. I mean, from every turn. So
yeah.
The hypnosis that you provided, did it actually provide help to Uday?
Well, It did. And, Jim, I'm not sure if you're familiar with hypnosis, but here's how I explain it to everybody, whether it's Uday or anybody else, is hypnosis, to me, speaks to the part of the mind that feels, not the part of the mind that thinks. So the part of the mind that thinks logically has very little power. So a person with a bad habit, say, to quit smoking, logically says, I know I don't need these cigarettes. And then the other part of their mind says, but I feel like I do. So in Uday's case, he knew he could walk well because his medical staff had told him there's nothing physically wrong. But his mind internally felt fear of putting pressure on his leg. So once we were able to communicate to the subconscious mind to reduce the fear, much like communicating to a person to quit smoking, once we were able to communicate the reduction of this fear, then he was able to take a risk and put pressure on his left leg. So it wasn't, again, that his left leg didn't function well. His mind was fearful of putting pressure. It'd be like a person who's fearful of going into a dark room, or a person who's fearful of going on a high roof. So this tightness that you feel is what hypnosis reduces or removes.
So that response was there then. You noticed that response. What was the feedback? I'm curious to find out what the feedback was.
Well, you know, it'd be nice if we had 2 hours to explain this one, but I'll tell you in brief. The first time I hypnotized Uday Hussein, I hypnotized him in the VIP hospital in Baghdad. After that, it was always in his home. But the first time I hypnotized him, it was the first time, and after we were finished, about a half hour, 40 minutes hypnosis experience, he opened his eyes. He kind of looked at me with a kind of a half smile, and then he said in Arabic something to one of the people standing there. And the person standing there came back and said to me in English, they always called Uday the patient. He says, the patient says that was good, but next time it must be better. And he said it was such a force, it was almost intimidating to me that, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So I maintained some composure, and I just said in a very gentle way, and I said, well, this is only the first time. The first time you hypnotize somebody, you can't expect success right away. It's going to take us a couple of times. So that gave me a little more time. So then the second time, I had a very similar experience, and again, the person said, okay, the patient says this is better, but it must next time must be deeper. He didn't even know he was talking about deeper, but I realized that everybody's got an expectation of hypnosis. Some people think they need to be sleeping. Some people need to think they need to be awake. So Uday had the expectation that he needed to be deep. So what I did the second time is I spent a considerable amount of time. Now I'm in his home. He's more comfortable. Until he was actually falling asleep and started to breathe like he was snoring. So once he did that, I realized that when he opened his eyes, he would think that he was hypnotized because he didn't remember what had happened. That's not truly hypnosis, but that was his expectation. So once he was satisfied, that's the third session, then from then on we had great success. But it was a little scary and nerve-wracking the first time when he said to me it wasn't good enough, because I had heard horrible stories about this man and didn't know if I'd go home or not, but that's how the first time was.
Hmm. Were you invited back?
I was. It's interesting you asked that question. First time I was there was in May. I was there for 10 days. I spent a total of 60 hours with Uday in the two trips. I don't think anybody's ever spent 60 hours with Uday Hussein, let alone an American. So that was in May. I was there 10 days. So I was invited back again. In August, they sent me a note to ask if I would come back. So I had to deal with the FBI and the CIA with this whole experience, because this was a very significant journey. So I spent time with them and told them that I was invited back, so we needed to go back again. So when I went back the second time, it was September 9th, and of course, as I say, September 11th, and was 2 days later. Then I was trapped in Iraq for 10 days until September 19th, when the no-fly zone had been lifted. And I was invited back again in October, but the FBI and CIA said I couldn't go back because most likely I wouldn't be able to return home.
Mm-hmm. Everything that was happening. Yeah. Well, Larry, I can't believe that our time, and Barbara, our time has wrapped up about like 60 seconds. I want to direct people to your website, Larry, Garrett, Garrett, wellnesscenter.com, to learn more about Larry and his offerings and the center in Chicago. Also, his two incredible books as well. Mm-hmm. Larry, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It was a real honor and a pleasure. And, of course, Barbara, as always, you can find out more about Barbara Hardy of Angel Connection. angelconnections.com. Thanks to you both for joining us on the show today. It was a pleasure, especially on 9/11.
Thank you, Jim, too.
My honor, Jim.
You are very
well.
Thank you very much, Larry Garrett and Barbara Hardy. Barbara, you'll be back with us again for another episode up soon, so we look forward to that as well. That's right. Next Monday here on CUTV News Radio. Thank you both again. A real honor and pleasure. And again, thank you for joining us, everybody, on this September 11th, 2017. This show will be archived as well on our websites and iTunes and Stitcher, so you can hear it again and share it with those you care about and who you think will find this show of great value. For all of us here at CU TV News, the entire team, I am your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us, and we wish you a terrific day.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.